your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at Prime Lending did my last two mortgages, and I will just tell you that when I walked into the first one with Prime Lending, my second mortgage ever, I was still slightly intimidated. And then they walked me through this process, and we were refinancing at the time, and how easy it was. And I was like, man, this feels like it's doable. And then the third one that I signed with the second one of these folks was a remodel. And they actually took me off the future value of the home, and it just worked awesome. And it really was amazing. So we love our great friends at Prime Lending. Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Get in touch with our great friends over at Prime Lending. To our guest lines, Dane Young, UGA.Rivals.com. Good morning, sir. How you doing this morning?
Good morning, Mickey. You asked me, I think, 2 weeks ago, my opinions on the comedy show Kill Tony, and yes. At the time I told you I had not seen it, and since then I have, because one of my favorite comedians, Jimmy Carr, was featured on there, I think within the last week. So I went to check it out, and I have a review for you real fast. Essentially, I think you're right. Like, there's a lot of cringy in there. So the whole premise, yeah. Tony Hinchcliffe, famous comedian, other aspiring comedians come on, they get 1 minute to give their best. Some of them, their best is a long way from worth being behind a microphone, which I don't throw too much shade because I may be in that same boat. But I kind of equate it to TJ Maxx. Like, if you're willing to sit there for the 2.5 hours, or if you're willing to stroll TJ Maxx for like the entirety of the store, you might find one thing that you're like, okay, I can take that. I'll give you the best line that I heard. It was this Hispanic comedian. He gets up there and he says that his father walked out when he was six, and but it wasn't immigration or anything. He just liked cigarettes. He wasn't deported. He was Newported.
Very good. Very good. My favorite one I can't say on the air, but remind me off the air. I'll tell you one from that one. But yeah, it's kind of cringy. You know, it's not the setting and the Anyway,
and I don't think Tony's that funny. Like, that's the
not.
Issue with it. That, like, the centerpiece comedian to me is not the draw. It's all the guests that come on there that I think are funnier than he is.
Well, see, Tony, it would be better if Tony were like I listen to Rogan, and I listen to Jordan Peterson every single podcast. I listen to a little bit of Rogan, I listen to a little bit of guys, and so to carry something for that long, the personality has got to be there. You know, no matter what. A slow show, a slow day, but yet you're interested in the person that's carrying it. And Tony's just not that guy who can carry that much time, in my opinion.
Well, so. And the two people that are most responsible for the entire comedy scene leaving California and going to Austin, Texas, Joe Rogan's right there. Yeah. But then Ron White is the other one,
yeah.
Because he doesn't want to travel as much. And Ron White's still hilarious.
Yes, yeah. And matter of fact, he did a whole podcast with Rogan on it, how it all works out, too. And an interesting character, man, a very, very interesting character. Speaking of Mexico, listen to his story about him moving down there with a girlfriend, how all that worked out. Interesting stuff for sure. Hey, I want to run some things by you.
Yeah.
I bought my very first preseason magazine. I every year I tell myself I'm only going to buy Phil Steele, and every year I go to the grocery store. Phil Steele is not out yet, and I go to the beach next week every single year the same time, and so I got to have a little bit there, beach material and all stuff. So I end up buying Lindy's or Athlon's or some of these. I bought Lindy's yesterday. Is it a positive for Georgia that the talk in the SEC seems to be more centered around Texas or Alabama? Like, I'm looking at Lindy's right now. They got to pick fourth in the SEC. It feels weird for Georgia not entering the season as a number one or the odds-on favorite to win the national championship. But is that welcomed in Athens with the pressure they've seen here in the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I disagree with the rankings of that because, as you and I have discussed, what has Alabama shown that gives you more optimism in them than what there is in Georgia right now? Like, I think Georgia is going to be a really good football team. Do I think they're going to go undefeated against their schedule? I can't say that, but I think they'll be really good and competitive and in the national championship hunt just because they've been recruiting so well in the last couple of years. I get that there is like an extra degree of prognostication of like with these transfers, you just never know. And Georgia, especially at wide receiver, is relying on transfers a whole ton. So maybe that's where some of this comes in. But all right, so you said Texas, you said Alabama, Georgia was four. Who was the other one in the mix?
LSU. Texas one, LSU two, Alabama three, and Georgia four. The Alabama I just don't get. LSU, by the way, a lot of transfers in there too.
Sure.
But I get the Texas thing. Let me say this too. I get the Texas thing, but I'm not, and I think Art, I believe in my heart that Arch Manning will be a really good player, but I'm not convinced of that yet. Like, I'm not gonna hitch my wagon to Arch Manning yet. I'm leaning that way, but I still got to see it on a consistent basis to go that way.
I mean, I'll tell you, the player in the SEC, like if I'm Georgia, the person that I'm most glad is gone is Matthew Golden at Texas. Because he was one of those guys that felt like he was wide open constantly in the two games, and he got hurt in one of those games against Georgia. But that was the weapon that really hurt Georgia when they played Texas. And when Georgia kind of didn't have to focus on him as much, like the others didn't do as much. I think Texas still has a lot to prove, and I think it sounds like you're in a similar vein. I like Garrett Nussmeier probably better than most people that you'll talk to. I think that he is a superstar. He can make throws that I don't know that anyone else in the sport can make. Now, he can also go out there in the play after that and throw an interception. And you're like, how in the world did he do that? But, man, LSU's roster is so made over right now that I would definitely not – I don't know that I'd be comfortable picking them in the top five in the SEC. And you may know more than me considering that first week matchup against LSU. But, like, I would favor Clemson in that game right now.
Yeah, Clemson will be favorite of a line favorite in that one, and home field advantage will be the big part of that. But LSU is like so many teams in that you've got so many transfers at key positions. The wide receiver core has been redone, and the defensive line's kind of been redone a little bit through all that. So I don't know. I mean, until you get there, and it's just we've seen it. I mean, it's so hard. In the old days, you would know who they recruited, and you know who they redshirted. And you kind of know that more at Georgia at some places. But like wide receivers at Georgia, I mean, there's part of me that said that Zachariah Branch is going to be this superstar. But if you look at his career so far, it's wildly inconsistent. And there are times where you're thinking, man, the talent is there, but the numbers don't indicate that. And the same thing for the A&M kid. Like there's times in there where you think, man, this kid's going to explode. But there's some inconsistencies there. And then you add the transferring piece to it and the system piece to it, and you just – you don't know, plus the quarterback piece to it, too. It just feels weird.
Like there's a lot of Georgia fans that will tell you that last year goes a lot differently if you have Ra-Ra Thomas and Colby Young on the team.
Sure.
And I've just disagreed with that notion because what did Colby Young do at Miami? What did Ra-Ra Thomas do at Mississippi State to tell you that they were going to be difference makers against Georgia's schedule? I never saw it with them. I thought they were fine players. I didn't see them being difference makers on championship teams.
Why is it that Georgia has had to be so transfer portal reliant at wide receiver?
I mean, some of it is it's health. Some of it is off the field arrest. Again, there's two guys right there that transferred in that weren't able to play last year, but then Dominic Lovett. You know, some of it's recruiting misses, and that happens. I do think that they feel really good about C.J. Wiley, who he was a recruit that committed to Florida State, and by the end of it, Georgia found its way back in there. Sure, NIL has something to do with that. I'm sure NIL has something to do with him committing to Florida State to begin with. This recruiting class and this transfer portal class gives lots of reason for optimism. But Georgia's been so average at receiver for so long, other than Ladd McConkey, other than George Pickens. That's pretty much it in the Kirby Smart era. There's a few guys you would say, cool, they were fine players. Riley Ridley was a fine player. But, I mean, in terms of people that you walk on the field and you're scared of, it's been George Pickens, it's been Ladd McConkey, and you can put Brock Bowers in there because he was a receiver, tight end, everything. Other than that, has there been a receiver in the decade that Kirby's been around that other teams have feared? I really don't think so.
I saw this, again, we talked about this ad nauseum here, is that there's mirrors between Clemson and Georgia and their two national championship runs and college football playoff runs. One of the things that happened at Clemson, and I don't think Georgia's there yet because Georgia, you know, the SEC, you kind of get a little benefit of a doubt. But here we are now. We are 2 years in a row where Georgia's not won a college football playoff game. And coming off of back-to-back national championships, there was thought that they're going to win three or four or five in a row or win all these games in there. Is there a little bit of and again, you and I talked about why, I mean, the unicorn aspect of it through some of those teams. But is there a little bit of Georgia fans that are chomping at the bit to get back to that? Or is it a little bit of the apprehension to saying, hey, you know, this is a maybe a little bit tougher than we had perceived in 21 and 22? Where was the Georgia average Georgia fan fit on that scale?
Probably a combination of all that, in the sense that it's not like Kirby Smart's in their hot seat or anything. Like, that would be ridiculous to even ponder anything like that. But, like, Georgia fans had a very sour taste in the mouths after losing to Notre Dame when Georgia fans look at this roster and say, we have better players than them. And it wasn't that competitive, especially offensively. Georgia didn't do anything worth, you know, hammering home about. So I think some of the questions about this team, and look, a lot of what's happened is the stories that have come out about Carson Beck and his leadership and some of the things that we're lacking maybe off the field with Carson Beck. And I think that there's some excitement to be on the other side of that Carson Beck era. I think there would have been some gritted teeth had Carson Beck been back one more time, but it still would have been split because he's such a good arm talent. Like, this is the thing. When you have someone that maybe isn't the best team leader, but they have such a good arm, that's a really tough thing for fans to negotiate, and it split Georgia's fan base. At this point, I do think that most people are united behind Gunnar Stockton, but they would tell you he's less talented than what Carson Beck was. I'll guarantee you, you let Georgia have one or two losses in the first eight games, and you'll start having people already clamoring for the following year with Jared Curtis can be in the mix because he's the new hotshot recruit. The backup quarterback is always going to get that love, and we'll see how long Gunnar Stockton has to capture the heart of the fan base early in the season.
All right. Tell me where the average Georgia fan is on this spectrum. We have recruited extremely well, and even though these are freshmen, redshirt freshmen, and sophomores, this class or this team is extremely talented, as opposed to the other end of the spectrum of that, man, there's so many unproven guys who just hadn't taken that many snaps that were apprehensive going into the kind of schedule they'll face again this season.
That, again, I would say it's probably split. Like, you're going to have a lot of people that have heard stories about Elijah Griffin being a true freshman on the defensive line that most people think will play early and often and be one of the best defensive linemen in the country, and which is, that's a lot to put on someone. But look, South Carolina had one of those guys last year. Like, it does happen that Georgia thinks it has one of those. At the same time, this is just the era of college football that we're in. You just don't get to know your guys as well as you did in previous generations. So there's a little bit of, like, blind faith that Kirby Smart and the coaching staff have picked the right guys and can develop them in a shorter amount of time than ever. Jim Donnan was even telling us yesterday that Kirby has adjusted his philosophy. He used to not want to play as many younger players if he had guys that had been there for 3 or 4 years that had bought into the system. Definitely didn't want to pay them more NIL money than some of the older players, and he still says that. But I think he's adjusted that some to say, we got to give you a little bit of playing time or you're going to jump in the portal and you're going to leave. And I think we've seen that especially at defensive back at Georgia in the last year or two.
Schedule-wise does look different. We mentioned this a little bit last week, and I want to dive more in this in our last minute or two and then more next week, though. Are Georgia fans more concerned about the home aspects of Alabama, Ole Miss, and Texas in that turnaround deal there? Or can a Tennessee and an upstart Auburn – maybe Jacksonville this year might be a little more competitive than it has been, or even maybe a Georgia Tech. We kind of saw that game last year. What's the bigger concern? Games inside Sanford Stadium or outside Sanford Stadium?
Inside, and it's because Alabama's the first one. Yeah. And I don't think Georgia fans get past Alabama, because even Alabama, that was last year, that all the flaws we ended up seeing, that Alabama team dominated Georgia for a half and then held on the rest of that game. Carson Beck was awful in that game. And Jalen Hurts was incredible. Well, everyone thought he was going to win the Heisman after that game, which sounds absurd now, but that was the case after that particular game. Until Georgia takes down Alabama, and I know it did it in a national championship, but for whatever reason, and I know Nick Saban's not there, Georgia fans are still going to look at that as the big monster in the room until Georgia proves that it's the big monster in the room.
Just don't wear black in that game, because then it means you're going to a funeral. One of the all-time great clips that I've ever heard. Just fantastic.
That was Scott Cochran, right?
Oh, man. Oh, man. And that's one you can't play on the air, though, because the language is bad. But they were, remember that he was at practice. Georgia was going to wear black that night. The reason they're wearing black night is because they're going to Florida. But anyway, and that's where that Georgia jumped out. Bama jumped out like 31-0 or something.
Was that, if you remember, if that game has an extra 4 minutes, Matthew Stafford leads them back. Like, yeah. Georgia was rolling by the end, but it was too far behind.
Well, the other thing I remember, Monday morning, I get a phone call. It might be a Sunday. Alabama's running back coach, Burton Burns, called me. And he goes, man, thank God the second half turned out like it did. I said, what are you talking about? You're up 31-0. He goes, nah. Had we went on to roll that in the second half, we couldn't have taught anything on Monday, and we got a lot of teaching to do today. So that was a different way of looking at it. Tell me about UGA.sports.com, the YouTube stuff, you and Coach Don, and a lot of really good things. It is it's officially summertime, officially off season for football fans at least, and magazine time and preseason prognostication time, and a lot of good topics come about, I'm sure.
I will tell everyone, at the end of the month is when the Rivals and the On3 merger, at least from a fan and user perspective, takes place. But UGASports.com is going to be like it is. It may look a little bit different with some of the On3 platform, but that's happening 1st of July. So if you are checking out UGASports.com, and then Dogs HQ will be in the same network as us, but we'll be two separate sites. We're trying to figure out how that works. So we're trying to figure out how to play in the same pen together. I will tell you, Mickey, I've had really good attendance on your show since you started having me on. I'm going to have to miss next week because I am going to France with my wife.
Oh,
and
bonjour.
I don't think I want to be, I mean, unless you want me to pull over at the Eiffel Tower and say hello to you on the phone.
No. But I am looking for a review of the Paris trip, the French trip.
You'll have that because we'll have France. We're going to Paris, Lille, France. We're going to spend our last day in Belgium, and there's a chance we take a train to London. So at least two countries, maybe three, we'll see.
Awesome, and that's next week. So enjoy that. Enjoy the trip with the wife and everything, and give us a great review when you get back.
Sounds good. Thanks,
buddy.
Mickey.
Dan Young, UGA.rivals.com. Short break. We'll come back. It is U.S. Open time at Oakmont. It's carnage time. Andrew Oliphant will tell you what to expect at Oakmont when you return right after this.
Sitting here again today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asked, Walt, I have a small business and wonder if Gary would like to work with our employees who are reaching retirement age, and if so, at what charge?
Great and timely question, listener. We have just launched a new service this year doing exactly what you've asked. We will work with small to medium-sized companies who have people retiring and need our Medicare services. In addition to teaching them the Medicare ropes and how to access Medicare, I will call on my old HR background to support what the employer is doing through their retiree benefits package as well. And again, my charge, as always, is zero.
There you have it, listener. Give Gary a call today at 864-307-8484. Again, 864-307-8484. And as always, you will thank me later.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
At QC Kinetics, we're all about keeping you in the game, helping you get lasting relief from joint pain. That's why we're excited to announce that QC Kinetics is now partnering with the National Pickleball League. So many of our satisfied patients are avid pickleball players, and they're thrilled with how we've helped them get back on the court. As lead sponsor of the National Pickleball League, we're committed to help pickleball fans of all ages with the latest, most advanced regenerative cell treatments. These treatments use your body's own healing power, revitalizing and restoring damaged joint tissue the natural way, with no drugs, no surgery, and no downtime. Whether you're a pickleball fanatic or enjoy golf or running or tennis, stay in the game with help from QC Kinetics. QC Kinetics, proud to promote active, pain-free living as a lead sponsor of the National Pickleball League. Call now for your free consultation.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-448-3772. That's 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
It's time to discover the convenience and time savings of contact-free pickup with Ingles Curbside. Just visit shop.ingles-markets.com or download the app, and your Ingles personal shopper gets to work with specialized training on how to select the freshest items for a pre-scheduled pickup. They'll even text you with updates. You pull up to a designated space, and your personal shopper delivers your items right to your vehicle. Fresh, fast, and affordable. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Guys, when was the last time you actually felt like you? Dragging through the day, zero drive, stuck with that gut? It might be low T. At Low Country Male, we make testosterone replacement simple and affordable. Plans start at just $200 a month that includes your labs, medication, and doctor visits. More muscle, more energy, more confidence. Get back to the man you used to be, or better. Visit lowcountrymale.com. That's lowcountrymale.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for Atlanta Braves baseball. We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Four-piece band was jamming, so I took my guitar and I set in. I showed them what a band would sound like. I was a swinging little guitar man. Show them, son.
Again, I need more Elvis, man. I don't know why. The guy was talented. We don't ever play Elvis on the radio anymore. You don't hear Elvis anywhere. Like, I don't know why, but the guy's talented for sure. My great friends over at Ruchers want to give you the straight razor shave. They wanted the back of the neck shave, the seven-step facial. We love Ruchers, RoochersMGC.com. At Ruchers, this is a all men. You're not going to have any kind unisex type. You're not getting like any of the you got the 1970s. Look, this is a whole different deal, man. This is just men. Getting your hair cut like a man. Go by and see our great friends over at Roosters, RoochersMGC.com. Plaza on Pelham, Pelham Road over in Greenville. Go by and see our great friends over at Roosters and get your hair cut like a man. Telephone number 654-ROAR. We're going to get Andrew Oliphant here in a second. We'll get Andrew checking in. It's going to be him down now. Got to talk some U.S. Open at Oakmont, and I'm watching a lot of videos, man. I saw the one guy putt it from 122 yards, and it looked pretty fast going down through there. I've seen guys can't keep balls on greens and what the rough looks like, and, man, it is going to be an awful lot of fun watching the top players in the world get tested at maybe the toughest venue in the world. So to our guest lines now, we're Andrew Oliphant, the director of instruction there at Katichi in beautiful Hartwell, Georgia, joins us now. Good morning, Andy O. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Good morning to you, Mickey.
How much coverage have you watched and seen, paid attention to, social media, live from, reading and all? Are you getting some of the video that we've seen from Oakmont so far this week?
Yeah. Trying not to watch it in case I get kind of nervous just watching the speed of the greens, the rough that they've got going on there. So it's going to be an interesting few days.
What will be the bigger factor, that gnarly Brillo pad rough, the 5-inch rough, or these 14 and a half stint meter greens with so much undulation that you just find a hard time stopping on the right tiers and right shells? What will be the bigger detractor from low scoring this week?
Well, the old saying would be drive for show, putt for dough, you know, and I think with this, the U.S. Open's always been something where they're trying to test every aspect of the player's game. It's just going to be an absolute slog from the first tee to the, you know, 72nd green. And to me, you've got to get the ball in the fairway. You know, so if you're in that long rough, you know, we've seen guys hack it out sideways. I don't know how they're going to keep the pace of play. You know, they've got cameras everywhere. I'm sure they'll have marshals in the fairways and spotters and so on. But a regular golfer, you know, just throwing a golf ball into that long rough, you can't even see it. So there's going to be a lot of pitching out, a lot of packing out back into the fairway, and that then gives up the spin and control that you're going into the greens with. So it's going to be something where players are going to have to drive the ball in the fairway to even stand a chance of spinning the greens. The speed of the greens, providing they don't get crazy at the weekend and dry out, I think they'll manage that. You know, they're used to playing on some of the faster surfaces week in, week out, so that part shouldn't affect them too much. But it's going to be those approach shots from the fairway that's going to really test them.
On Sunday, when we crown a winner, what would we say? This guy won it because he drove it in the fairway then? Is that the single most important thing? Or if he mastered the greens? I mean, the good thing about the U.S. Open is, and I think Oakmont is this way, it will test every aspect of your game. It will identify, I know it's going to identify bad shots and reject bad shots, but I'm hopeful that it accepts and rewards good shots. What will be the key to winning? Is it driving, or is it the overall, you know, the guy that just played the best from top to bottom throughout his game?
Yeah, I mean, driving in the fairway, if you said, okay, you know, is the person, you know, if we put them in the fairway 14 times out of the four rounds, you know, so data and stats numbers-wise, is that person going to be crowned the champion? You know, maybe, but there's a lot more to it, right? You know, they've still got to hit the second shot, they've still got to make the putt, they've still got to be patient, they've still got to be, you know, on the right side of the draw if there is a weather issue. The player's going to three putt, they are going to make bogeys, it's how they bounce back. So is it, like you said, it's going to test every aspect of the player's game. And this one's tough. You know, I've been thinking about the last few days of who I would pick as a champion. I mean, all eyes might be on Scottie Scheffler. He does all those things really well, and he's in form. But this one's really tough to go, okay, I'm going to lean on that player. Who's my outside pick? You know, going to need to see a few days and see how players are dealing with the golf course. And then maybe after Friday, if we were allowed to say, okay, these are my picks of who I feel for the weekend.
Been great so far. I'm trying to win the Grand Slam myself. I picked Roy to win the Masters. I picked Scottie Scheffler to win the PGA Championship. So I'm trying to win the Grand Slam. I've never done this before. But that said, those are easy. If it is not, and Roy has struggled. But let me ask you that. First of all, what do you make of Rory's struggles last week? And Roy's PGA Championship, I don't want to say struggles, but how he played there combined with how he looked up in the Canadian Open. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I saw a press interview the last couple of days, and he doesn't look the same. You know, we've said this before. You know, he goes into these, you know, peaks and troughs, and he's certainly in a little bit of a trough right now, working hard on his game on the range. You know, 7-8 hour practice, training. He puts those hours in, don't get me wrong, but we haven't seen that at tournaments from him for a while. Usually he'll, you know, warm up, usually he'll hit a few balls afterwards and then go and spend some family time. But to be on the range that long, they're trying to figure something out, trying to get a driver in play, going from a longer driver, shorter driver. I believe he's got the same build driver now as he had at the Masters. But, you know, when someone pitched the question, what's your future look like, what's your goals in the next 5 years, and he flat out didn't have an answer. And I was a little bit shocked by that, you know. So he's obviously achieved everything that he wanted to achieve in the game, and right now he looks a little bit deflated. Looks like he's got the wind out of his sails, and you know, people say that know him that he plays better golf when he's got a little bit of anger in him, a little bit of a chip on his shoulder with either the tour or the live players, or something's gotten in, under his skin. Right now, he seems a little content, and his game's suffering because of that. So hopefully, you know, he'll do well, pull himself out a little bit of a low spot right now.
He seems agitated, like with the media, not talking to the media, and then he had to do it yesterday, and he was asked about the driver, and he seemed like short. Almost like inconvenienced by it all. He just didn't seem like Roy's always been honest and upfront, and or usually, you know, said exactly what he feels. But I don't know. Maybe it's the toll. But my original thought was that the career Grand Slam is that burden is off of his chest, and now he's going to free himself up. But he doesn't look too free. Is that fair to say? He looks like agitated more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have the number two player. They're going to have poor rounds, right? They're going to have poor tournaments. But to go and miss the cut by a bunch and shoot, what was he, 78, I think, in the second round at the Canadian. He's done well in that tournament. You know, took the previous week off, didn't play Memorial. So, you know, looking to be fresh to go in US Open. And like you say, just something not clicking for him. And this has happened in his, you know, past, you know, COVID time, he wasn't playing well. You know, when there was no crowds, he seems like, you know, he's say for me, the peaks and troughs of his career and his game, maybe off course life too. But he's no doubt one of the most talented players out there. We can't take that away from him, and he's a Grand Slam winner, as you mentioned. So hopefully he'll turn it around.
I see some Bryson DeChambeau, a lot of talk about him, the defending champion. I can see DeChambeau winning. I can also see him like not even being in contention at all. It seemed like he's either on or totally off kind of a deal. Roy kind of the same way. That's why it's a hard pick. Oakmont makes it a hard pick, and then guys not being in great form like Rory makes it a fairly hard pick. And so that's why I always have to go back to Scheffler. I almost feel like it's the safe bet because I don't see Scheffler missing the cut like Roy has done. I don't see Scheffler blowing up. They said Roy shot 81. I don't see any 81s in Scotty Scheffler. So am I wrong for thinking that you just go safe and the guy that game will be identified for 72 holes is the best player in the world over everything over 72 holes?
Well, it was interesting listening to Jack Nicklaus talk about Scotty Scheffler in that, you know, does he look at leaderboards? Does he look at the field? How is the field playing? And, you know, yes, he does look at leaderboards. He elevates his game to where it needs to be, you know. So if he's looking there and going, okay, you know, I've got Xander Schauffele breathing down my neck here. I've got Bryson. He steps on the extra gear. And, you know, that's the mark of the world number one player. You know, you mentioned Bryson there. I think he's got a chance this week because he could be a player that starts to hit irons off the tee, you know, controls his spin the way Tiger did at the British Open many years ago. You know, control the spin, put the ball in the fairway. It's not an overly long golf course for him. And, you know, if he does drive it in the rocks, you know, he decides to pull the driver out. Well, there's nobody in the game stronger than him to beat it out of that Brillo pad style rough. So I think he's got a great chance of defending this week and getting it done. But he's a fair, you know, he's a safe guy, right? You know, it's like, okay, I'm gonna, as long as he doesn't get arrested on the way in, he'll be fine.
Yeah, because that's one only thing that seemed to derail him was the Louisville Police Department. Weather looks okay. Maybe some thunderstorms on Saturday, maybe on Sunday. So we might see a softer golf course maybe on the weekends. Winning score-wise, is there a possibility in your mind that we could see over par once again at Oakmont as a winning score?
Again, we've talked about this rough so much, you're right. I mean, USGA will always set something up where they think that par as your friend, and they like that winning score round about the par. If someone turns in, you know, 4 to 8 under, I think that'll be an amazing achievement for the U.S. Open at Oakmont. But it's set up, it's brutal. You know, I mean, there's a golf course there. It's like, would you and I like to go peg it up on Thursday and try and, you know, see how we do? It's like, it's got a scary aspect to it as well, of going, okay, you know, imagine playing there Thursday, nobody's around. You could lose 5-6 golf balls in a heartbeat just by missing the fairways, you know what I mean? So that's going to be the big challenge.
Challenging times at Oakmont. I'm going to make a pick maybe later on, but this is the most difficult major to pick so far, it seems like to me, in this season. Tell me about what you're doing there, how folks can get some help and help improve and love this great game and maybe even speed up play because they're hitting it straighter.
Yeah, I'll continue with some junior and youth camps. So, as you know, just getting the youth players out the house in the summertime while they're out of school and introducing them to this great game. And this aim point's going well. You know, hopefully we'll see an aim point champion at the U.S. Open. You know, reading the greens is something that's super important in using aim point. So excited to share the aim point method to players that come on by to Katichi and staying busy, you know, trying to get this great game, the message over to players and help them play better.
You know, I was thinking about the calibration with aim point. Obviously, the closer you hold your fingers, the more break because of the speed of the greens. I'm not sure I could get my hand close enough to my eyes when 14 and a half to some of those. So.
you need a lot of arm bend this week, for sure. Yeah.
Got my hands right up next to my eyeball through all of that. Hey, I always love it. Always enjoy it. Let's review the U.S. Open when we visit next week.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Thanks again, Mickey.
Andrew Oliphant. I had to get a St. Andrews, Aberdeen, North Berwick, King's Barnes. I got to get him to update me on how to go about links golf in Scotland because we'll do that in early July. That'll be a lot of fun. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Final segment of a Wednesday show right after this.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want a boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments including pills, chews, and more. 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Call the plumber whose name is his number.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number 1, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number. One Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Ready to finally give your home the upgrade it deserves? Your reliable Upstate roofer, Adams & Co., also provides remodeling and renovation services. Imagine sleek new siding, a newly remodeled bathroom, upgraded flooring, or a freshly painted interior, complete with just one phone call to Adams & Co. Whether you'd like to modernize your home or restore a historic building to its original glory, if it's a small weekend project or a complete overhaul, Adams & Co.'s team is here to help you turn your dream into a reality. Visit AdamsCoeRoofing.com today.
Easley has welcomed Greer Flooring Center with open arms, and as a thank you, we are offering 12 months same as cash on your next project. Visit our state-of-the-art showroom at 5606 Calhoun Memorial Highway, or start by using our flooring visualizer at GreerFlooringCenter.com. Take a photo of your room, and then select different flooring options, and you get to see what it would look like. It makes those nights scrolling through your phone more fun. Remember, you'll always find a knowledgeable, experienced staff member and the right prices at Greer Flooring Center.
Rock the Ranch is a family music festival jam-packed with your favorite local food and craft vendors, sweet treat options, face painting, petting zoo, and more. Bring your family on June 14th. Visit rocktheranchmusicfest.com for tickets while they last.
We're here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, I know that you're always looking to hire. Your business is growing like crazy. So let's talk about reasons that people would choose to come to work for Snyder Tree Care.
You know, Mickey, years ago, I looked at the team we had and I thought, gosh, if I want to keep people long term, I've got to provide for them. So we brought on health care, holiday pay, vacation pay, uniforms. At Snyder Tree, we say we're a professional company that happens to do tree care.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
The only thing you want after a Bojangles ham biscuit is another one. For a limited time, get two ham biscuits for $5. Cravings meet savings. Order in the app or at Bojangles. It's boat time.
What's up, Clemson family? This is former Clemson linebacker and now linebackers coach, Ben Boyer. Are you looking to get in the best shape of your life for this upcoming football season? Well, look no further than The Junkyard. The Junkyard is a group training fitness studio located in Anderson, Greenville, and Malden, South Carolina, where your first workout is free. You see free, you see me. Visit us for more information at www.thejunkyardfitness.com.
Start your day the Mickey way. Talking sports before the sun comes up. The Mickey Plyler Show, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. A lot of great things going on, certainly, in sports at this point in time. And tomorrow's show, Paul Strelo and Tony Moreau will do a Gamecocks and Tigers tomorrow. With the U.S. Open tomorrow, live scores. With the College World Series this weekend and Major League Baseball stuff. And you got to find out everything going on with transfer portal and baseball and all that. You got to be streaming and streaming right. That's what Upcountry Fiber has the strongest connection for you right now. In Spartanburg, Greenville, Anderson, Pickens, Oconee counties, get with our great friends at Upcountry Fiber, upcountryfiber.com, for a stronger connection. It's Upcountry Fiber. No, none of those glitches, man. You don't have to see things spinning around. I got to watch. My son's watching all the YouTube stuff, watching all the shows. My daughter's watching Bluey and watching all the stuff. So I got to have it on my iPad and on my phone. I got to be streaming all these sporting events, and that's what Upcountry Fiber is the best in the business for a faster connection, a stronger connection. It's upcountryfiber.com. 654 Roar, final segment of a Wednesday. Dr. Red Martin. Good morning, Dr. Red Martin. How you doing, buddy? You doing okay, buddy?
Yeah, man. Doing good. So, hey, did you notice that how many Clemson, the teams that Clemson played in baseball this year were in the final games of getting to the College World Series?
I didn't. Let's think about it. Duke certainly didn't make that. North Carolina, Clemson played. They didn't make it. Louisville made it. Did Clemson play Miami? Florida State. Yeah. You know, the ACC did themselves. They didn't do great in the Super Regional, but they did themselves well as far as the regionals were concerned. So made Clemson look a little better there.
I know we had a bad ending, but I looked at that this weekend. I looked at all the teams that could play, like Arizona, and all those teams that were there in the finals.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I don't think we had a bad year if you look at it that way, because, I mean, we played those guys and beat some of them, and we got beat by some of them, but, I mean, that's not a bad year when you got all those teams that made it to that final day before the College World Series.
Yeah, and look, that's where you're going to be in the future, too, because if you think about it, I think North Carolina baseball, I think they're going to be there in the future. I feel like that Florida State baseball, they're going to be there in the future. Maybe Virginia gets back now. Maybe Duke might drop. Virginia gets back. Who depend on? They're going to hire the LSU assistant at Duke. the one that was there with Pollard before. Maybe they're there, but you know, Louisville, time in, year in, year out, Louisville's going to be there. And Miami, you think maybe getting their ducks in a row at some point in time, but that's ACC baseball. And then maybe South Carolina gets back to where they were. You know, Clemson played Georgia, obviously, every year. And so at some point in time, you look at that schedule, and it's part of the reason why your RPI is so high, because your schedule is difficult.
Yeah. So I was very, you know, I was upset that they lost at the end, but then I was like looking at it and I was like, man, that ain't that bad. I mean,
no, really, but we're at the time where, you know, Clemson baseball needs to go to Omaha. You know, Clemson baseball is ready, and man, they're right there on the verge of doing it right. So. For sure. Need to do better, for sure. Need to get to Omaha.
Yeah, I think we're about a year away.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. Hopefully, for sure.
Yeah.
And yeah. I look, he seems determined. And he seemed like a guy that when I last spoke to him on the air, I got more confidence out of that conversation than any other time I talked to him as of late. Because he had just had enough, and that was it, and they're going to – he's going to do what it takes to go to Clemson, Omaha, and he is hell-bent on that, and I trust him he's going to do that.
Yeah. So, but, hey, I'm doing something that brings me so much joy right now, Nikki. I'm fighting the traffic, trying to get a young lady, beautiful young lady, to treatment this morning, and I'm out here fighting the traffic, trying to get her there. Her name is Laverne. She's a beautiful soul, and we're trying to get her treatment this morning so she can start her new life.
I think that's amazing. I hope she does a great job with it, and it's great to have people supporting you and believing in you, and the staff will do a great job with her, and we're going to turn that life around, man. That's awesome, Red. You're doing great work, and she's going to do great, we hope. Keep us up to date with it, and we'll be praying for her.
And I love Clinton, by the way.
Hey, I love it. Hey, you're going to do great. You're going to do outstanding, and we believe in you. You believe in yourself, and this thing's going to go well, okay?
Of course.
All right.
That's awesome, Red. I appreciate you sharing, Red. Very good stuff there. Yeah, you got to believe. You got to believe, and there's reasons, and there's hope. There is no better example of that than Red Martin. And you're sitting beside someone who can talk about walking that walk. Texter asked about some official visits coming up for Clemson baseball. Yeah, they've got several here. I think that you're going to start to see, you got a catcher coming in. But I think you're going to see some more arms coming as well. I don't think they're done in the transfer portal as far as pitching is concerned. So we'll see for sure. Texter said, I can see Bryson getting seriously hurt in that rough. Yeah, Bryson takes a pretty good lash at it. I don't know. I can see Bryson winning the U.S. Open and defending. It would be the first time that we defended it. I think I'm saying this since Curtis Strange won the U.S. Open. Let me look that up for us for sure. So we'll see. But I could also see Bryson like not being a factor at all. And I know that sounds like, oh, really, Mickey, you're going to go? But Bryson's game is so weird and strange. How does that upright club fit down that rough and all? We'll see. 9410 said Roy's interview makes him look like he's checked out. Yeah, what is that? Texas said Jack put a curse on Rory. Rory looked disinterested. He looked agitated. He looked checked out's a great way to describe it. And this surprised me because the my conventional thought there, the conventional wisdom would have been that, man, Rory won the World, I mean, the Grand Slam, and now all the pressure's off, and now just go free style this thing, and just go have a good time, and go play great golf, and all the pressure's off. But Roy looks like, and I don't know if that's a home life thing. Roy fights some personal type demons anyway, but maybe this is Rory being Roy McIlroy, just being himself, and maybe firing himself up through all of that. 654 Roar is a number. We got a lot of guys. Let me check on that U.S. Open winner stuff. Koepka won in 17 and 18 back to back. Yeah, Koepka won and Aaron Hills, and then he won at Shinnecock Hills. I forgot about that one. So he won back to back. And then you got to go back to Tiger never won back-to-back. You got to go back. I think I'm right saying it. You got to go back to Payne Stewart. I mean, it took Curtis Strange in 88 and 89 where he won at the Country Club in Brookline. Then he won at Oak Hill where Tom Kite kind of collapsed a little bit. But then in the race for three, Hal Irwin won the following year. In Brooks Koepka's chase for three in a row, he was actually the runner-up. He lost by three shots to Gary Woodland at Pebble Beach. Now, you talk about checked out. Brooks Koepka seems checked out at this point in time. Maybe it's John Rahm's turn to win again. He won in 21. But it feels like that and DeChambeau's won two U.S. Opens now, as you know. He won at Winged Foot during COVID, and then he won at Pinehurst last year. So maybe 2025 is number three, which you go back and look at it. The only people who've won, Hal Irwin won three, Jack Nicklaus won four, Tiger Woods won three. And so it put him in some very, very rare air for multi-winners there. Ben Hogan won four U.S. Opens. Hogan won back-to-back also. But some rarefied air, man. Bobby Jones won four. But this third win for Bryson DeChambeau would be amazing. Willie Anderson won four as well. But be very interesting to see there. Hey, Brad Hughes is my Allstate agent. I'm a good hands with Brad Hughes. Good hands with Allstate. And call him at 292-3001. Email him bradhughes@allstate.com. Get in touch with him. bradhughesinsurance.com. Better. Covers better rates thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. We love what Brad Hughes has been able to do for us. And speaking of insurance and claims and all that, it reminds me, now this is more of a health deal there, but thoughts and prayers to Deion Sanders. And while I'm not the biggest Deion Sanders fan in the world, I want to see him be healthy, come back. He's good for college football. But if in case you missed the story earlier, he is has some undisclosed illness. And his son said he's back in Texas for a while now, and he's had to cancel some speaking engagements. And hopefully, you know, had the blood clot issue to remove a couple of toes and some other blood clot issues in the past. And so we pray that that Deion Sanders will be back and healthy and can help be on the sidelines again at Colorado coming up this year. Michael Vaughn and Landon, skip the music, man. 2 minute drill. What do you have for me today?
Mickey, I just want to take us back to segment two for the next 3 days. We're talking about the greatest games for Clemson football in the past decade. You can vote on our first five choices. It looks like there's going to be an overwhelming winner, but get your vote in at theroarfm.com or on our mobile app. Choose the polls tab and let us know which game out of these five you think's the best. We'll have round two tomorrow, and then Friday we'll bring it all together for the top pick from Roar listeners on Clemson's greatest football games in the last decade.
Landman, who is a University of North Carolina basketball fan. Ugh. Landman, what do you have for me?
Your favorite quarterback had some breaking news when he got to minicamp. Aaron Rodgers showed up with a wedding ring, in fact, and he got married this offseason and apparently has been married for a couple of months. Wife is still a secret, but I thought that was very interesting.
You got a secret bride. Like, how can you get married? Nobody knows about it. Hey, and then how can you get married? Nobody knows who you're married to.
Yeah,
we don't know who you married?
Yeah, he said he's yet to go public and identify his wife, but yeah.
It's not Danica. We know that.
When's the unmasking?
Who knows? They thought it was like one of those, you know, aura rings.
Hey, speaking of Aaron Rodgers, did you hear that every single New York Jet reported for camp with no holdouts after Aaron was gone?
they wanted to get away from him, getting back there. That's interesting. It seemed like it'd be impossible to not know who you're married to. Like, aren't there registered? Don't you have to register, like, who you're married to? And aren't there marriage license? Like, is the...
Somebody will find out.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
He's a secretive guy. I don't know. People thought it was like one of those rings where it like reads your heartbeat or whatever. And then they asked him the awkward question. He goes, no, it's a wedding ring. And then that was it. There was no other further comment. He just, yeah.
8807 says, this has mail order bride written all over it. Wouldn't shock me.
He's an interesting guy, man.
Wouldn't shock me. My two major brought to you by Eric Newton, EricNewton.com for all real estate needs. And there's no one who does it finer than Clemson. If you're looking for any kind of commercial real estate, they'll take care of it for you. Any kind of residential homes, buying homes, selling homes, looking to renovate properties, they'll do a great job of that. You're going to love the best at EricNewton.com. All right, I wanted to save it. We'll do more of this next week. Lindy's magazine came out, and we actually bought it yesterday. Let me quickly give you his top 25 from Lindy Davis's preseason magazine. Number 25, Maryland. 24, TCU. 23, Washington. 22 is Nebraska. Georgia Tech, number 21. Missouri, number 20. Florida State, 19. South Carolina. This is recruiting. Hold on. I got the wrong ones here. I know South Carolina's higher than that. I was giving you recruiting. Sorry. Baylor, 25. Nebraska, 24. Louisville, 23. Clemson has to go to Louisville this year. Iowa State, 22. BYU, 21. Kansas State, 20. Whew, this is actual top 25 picks. Ole Miss, 19. Texas Tech, 18. Illinois is 17. Keep an eye out for Brett Bielema's club. I like what they do there. Michigan, 16. From the hot seat to a hot team now. Florida, 15. Arizona State, 14. South Carolina, 13. And what he says is pick up where they left off. Oklahoma, I'm a big Oklahoma fan because I love Brent Venables. Oklahoma, 12. SMU, 11. Coming to Death Valley. Miami, 10. Georgia, 9. That feels weird to say. Alabama, 8. Oregon, 7. Notre Dame, 6. LSU coming to Death Valley, 5. Clemson, said Tigers knocking on the door again at number 4. Ohio State, 3. Penn State, 2. And Texas, his number 1 team. Let me thank Dane Young, UGA.Rivals.com. Talk some Georgia football with him. Andrew Oliphant, Director of Instruction down at Katichi. We talked some U.S. Open with him. Landon is still a – are you still a Tar Heel basketball fan?
Yep, still am.
There's nothing I can do to talk you out
There's
of that.
There's nothing you can do to talk. I got to pump shame it you down. Enough.
I'm going to have to cut that microphone off.
Mike, great job once again. I'll see you the next 2 days. See both of you guys next 2 days. Looking forward to that. Up next to my favorite people, Faxon and John. Friends, have a wonderful Wednesday. Most importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's when we will see you on the radio.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.